Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
God is doing a special thing here, and today is going to be no different. You are in for a very special treat today. You're going to hear from a guest speaker who's not really a guest because he's a part of the Vision Church family. He and his wife joined our church about a year and a half ago on a mission because they are church planters who are getting ready this September 2022 to plant a vibrant, thriving church in East Charlotte called Edify Church. Today, you're going to hear from Matt Cusack. He's going to be bringing the word today. And I want to encourage you, if you have a heart for East Charlotte, if you have a heart for church planting, and you are open and maybe interested in getting more information about Edify Church and their plant coming to East Charlotte, you can stop and connect with them in the lobby. They have a table set up right there. And listen, we don't see it as competition, because there are enough lost people in the city of Charlotte to fill every single church 10 times over, and we'd still need more church plants. So we stand in one accord with them today. If you would, make welcome Matt Cusack as he comes to deliver the word of God today. Love you, sir. Appreciate you.
You guys make some noise for Pastor Tyson. Listen, honestly, there are not many pastors like Pastor Tyson who would be willing to launch another church, and he's doing it. And honestly, I'm just so honored to be under your leadership, you know, have you as a friend, have you as a mentor. It's been absolutely amazing. It's been the biggest blessing of my life in ministry. So thank you so much for everything you've done for us and things you're continuing to do. It's countless, countless things that Pastor Tyson has done for us. So I'm in awe. So thank you. Thank you so much. Guys, let's pray. And let's just welcome the Spirit of God into this room right now. Heavenly Father, we just love you today, Lord God. We thank you that yesterday we got to celebrate your birth and that today we get to celebrate you. Lord, I pray that you will just do something incredible here these next few moments together. Lord, let us unpack this word. Let it be applicable. Father, let it be life-breathing. Let it be the bread of life today. Lord, we just love you and we are honored by who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. So thank you, Vision Church, for having me today. Again, welcome to the people who are watching via the live stream. We're so honored that you tuned in with us today. Couple months ago, Vision Youth had a youth camp. Where's Vision Youth at? They didn't show up. That's cool. But anyways, they come at 11:30. That's what it is. Maybe we'll get a better response next service. But anyways, a few months ago, we did Vision Youth Camp. It was absolutely epic. And our next generation pastor's name is MJ. Now, MJ was like, Matt, I need you to be at the youth camp at 6 o'clock. And I was like, cool. I get off of work at 5, and I think I can sneak out a little bit early. I'll put my GPS on, and boom, I'm there. So I get out of work. I put the GPS on. GPS said 5:58. I was like, I got 2 minutes to spare. Right? So I get on Wilkinson, and then I get on 85. But if you've ever been on Wilkinson at 5 o'clock and 77, or I'm sorry, 85 at 5 o'clock, y'all, you know it is bad. So I am just driving down Wilkinson. I hit a red light, hit another red light. Then I get on 85, and I'm heading down, going towards the mountains. And all of a sudden, I get stuck with traffic. Like, it's bumper to bumper. It's backed up. And my GPS in my car, the lines were blue, and then it turned yellow, and then it turned orange, and then it turned red. And anytime you see that, you know it's a bad, bad day, right? But ironically, the time, estimated time of arrival on my GPS was still 5:58. I said, well, how could that be? How could that I hit traffic, I hit bumps in the road, I hit this pushback, but yet the time of the GPS, it never changed. It still said 5:58. You want to know why? It's because the GPS took something into account that I didn't. The GPS already knew that there was going to be traffic. The GPS already knew that it was going to be bumper to bumper. It was going to be bad on 85. The GPS already took into calculation the red lights, the stops, the problems. It already knew all of that. And if it was an accident, it already knew that there was an accident and I was getting ready to head towards it. The GPS already knew. It already took it into the calculation, but I didn't. Y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. Your struggle is not a surprise to God. Your estimated time of arrival is already been set. God's already planned your destination. All you have to do is stay the course. Sometimes when we struggle with something, we want to veer off. Like in that day, when I came across the traffic on 85, I could have just gotten off and tried to make my own route, right? It probably would have taken a lot longer to get there. But if I would have just stayed the course, I made it there right on time, right at 5:58, right when the GPS said I would make it there. Listen, guys, when you go through struggle in life, when you go through problems in life, if you're walking in the things of God, stay the course. Stay the course, and you will make it to your destiny. You will make it where God has called you to go. You will make it and be what God has called you to be. All you need to do is stay the course. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep pressing on to the mark. We're going to hit trials. We're going to hit tribulation. We're going to hit problems. We're going to hit stops and bumps in the road. But guys, stay the course. Press on to the mark, who is Jesus Christ. Today is the last Sunday of 2021. Can anybody say bye 2021, right? Y'all, it's probably been a rough year for some of us. Pandemic been going on still, going on almost 2 years. I'm kind of ready for this thing to, you know, kind of not go back to normal because there's going to be a new normal. But how many of you guys can say that 2020, 2021 has kind of been a rougher year, you know? Maybe some of us have lost family members. Maybe some of us have lost jobs, have lost our homes. And honestly, y'all, I've got to tell you, the struggle is real. Like, the struggle is real. What we've been experiencing these past 2 years, the struggle is real. But the Word of God is full of promises. The Word of God is full of promises like this, that He'll always be with us. For He's Emmanuel, God with us. He will go before us like He did for the Israelites. That He will give us a hope and a future, that He will give us peace, that He will give us love, and He will give us rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But I got to tell you, we love those promises, but there are also promises that this life is going to be hard. There are promises that, listen, we're going to encounter certain things, but the love of God never fails, and it always remains. The following scriptures I'm getting ready to read all present a problem that are all met with a solution. John 16:33 tells us, for I told you this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid for you are close to me. Isaiah 43:2, this is the Lord speaking. He says, when, not if, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you walk through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Romans 5:3-5, it says this, we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Romans 8:18, yet what we suffer now, what we suffer right now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us later. Isaiah 41:10, this is also the Lord speaking. So do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not dismay, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Listen, some of you feel like you've let God down. Some of you feel like you've let God down, that you've messed up, that you've just fallen into sin, you've fallen into lust, you've fallen into temptation, you're addicted to something, you've let God down. Well, how could you let God down if you were never holding Him up? You don't hold God up, God holds you up. So how could you let Him down? We let ourselves down all the time. But he has come to restore. He has come to redeem. He has come to give new life. He has come to breathe new life into you. This is Jesus that we're talking about. Listen, stress, anxiety, depression, frustration, anger, sadness, fear, they're real. Mental health, all this stuff is real. The struggle is real, but so is Jesus. The struggle is real, but so is Jesus. I'm going to say the struggle is real, and I want you guys to repeat after me, but so is Jesus. You ready? The struggle is real. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. Listen, every time you're struggling with something, every time you're faced with something, tell yourself the struggle is real, but so is Jesus. I may be going through something right now, but Jesus has got my back. I maybe feel like I'm at the end of my rope. I have no more hope, but Jesus is real and Jesus is actively working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. The struggle is real. Come on, some people got it. Today I'm going to focus on Mark 5. I'm going to provide you guys some context, and then we're going to read the scripture. So Jesus arrives, and he's met by this large crowd. And there's this synagogue leader. His name is Jairus. And Jairus has a problem. See, Jairus, he's got a daughter, and his daughter is dying. And so Jairus, as a synagogue leader, comes up and falls at the feet of Jesus in front of the crowd. And he begins to plead with Jesus. And he says, Jesus, my daughter is dying. I need you. She needs you. Please come with me right now. And Jesus, being full of compassion, decides to follow Jairus on his way to his house. And as they're on their way, we're going to read Mark 5, verse 25. Said that there was a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she has spent everything she had to pay them. But she had not gotten any better. In fact, she only grew worse. Verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can only touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at the crowd pressing against you. How could you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and said and told him what had happened. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher anymore. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, do not be afraid. Just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw so much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, why all this commotion and wailing? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made all of them leave and took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was laying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders to not tell anyone what had happened and told them to give her something to eat. Y'all, this passage right here is life-changing. It's like, how could you read one part of that and not read the whole thing, right? So I apologize if I read too much, but then again, we're at church, so I don't apologize. Listen, we're going to talk about three perspectives of this account. First off, I do want to make mention that this was Mark's encounter of what he saw that day. Matthew also has a passage of what happened here, and also Luke does, but we're going to focus on Mark. We're going to focus on three different characters: the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus, and Jairus' daughter. So starting with the woman with the issue of blood, Levitical law states, this is Leviticus 15, 25, 27, if you want to read it for yourself, a woman with excessive bleeding is considered unclean. Even the very things she touches are to be considered unclean. So this woman, I could just see her 12 years of suffering, and if she's considered unclean, that means that she would have to be quarantined. Like with COVID and everything that's been going on, some of us might have had, you know, had a quarantine for 14 days. You know who you are. So some of us, you know, some of us experienced a shelter inside, you know, from 8 to 5. You can't, you know, you can go out, and then after that, you got to stay inside. Some of us didn't follow that either. That's cool. But just think about, for 12 years, excessive bleeding, 12 years of being quarantined, 12 years of being exiled, 12 years of being an outsider, 12 years of not having personal contact with anybody, 12 years, 12 years, 12 years. She struggled, she suffered. She was known as the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. But at the very moment when she heard that Jesus was coming her way, she knew that she had to seize the opportunity. She knew that she couldn't let it pass. She knew that she had to go to him because it was her last option. The Bible says that she exhausted everything that she had. She ran out. She had nothing left. So therefore, she gave it all. She had nothing left, so therefore she gave it all. She was absolutely exhausted. I could just see, if she's been excessive bleeding for 12 years, that she was feeling weak. Her garments were definitely dirty because she was known as the woman with the issue of blood. She lived outside of the gates. She knew that she was dirty. She knew that she was unclean, but she didn't care at that point, because she said, I've tried everything else and nothing else worked, but I know that if I try Jesus, something might just happen. She didn't want to keep on living in her condition. She wanted to try the solution. Y'all, the struggle is real, but what? The struggle is real, but what? Come on. She felt exhausted, but she said, if I could only just reach out and touch his robe. Some accounts say that she touched the hem of his garment. So, obviously, I got some skinny jeans on. They're not really that skinny, but back in the day, they didn't really wear, you know, this type of clothing. They wore robes and tunics and all this other stuff, which I'm so glad, by the way, that we don't have to wear that now. Because, y'all, could you imagine me just standing up here with a robe, like, hey, right? So, but Jesus wearing this robe. This woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem. The hem is the lowest part of the robe. It's the lowest part of the garment. So you know what that tells me? Is that she came to him as an act of humility. Her position was a position of humility. And she probably thought of herself so unworthy to approach him any other way, because she was a woman with an issue. She was unclean. She was exiled. She was an outsider. She was not welcomed. Anything she touches is unclean. But she got on her hands and her knees and said, if I can only touch Jesus, I know that I'll be made well. If I can only press on through the crowd, if I can only get the haters out of the way, if I can only get the liars out of the way, if I can only get this obstacle out of my way, and if I was to make it to my Savior, I know that something will happen. Listen, I wish that we could put on that same mentality today, that if we can only get to Jesus, fight through the problems, fight through the issues, fight through the mistakes, fight through the past, and make it to Jesus, I know that he will meet you right where you're at today. We only need to press on, press through. Like Paul said, press on to the mark, who is Jesus Christ. We got to press on today. We got to fight through today. We got to break through today in the name of Jesus. Listen, I got to tell you, your miracle's right around the corner. All you got to do is start pressing. Your miracle's right there. All you got to do is keep on pushing. Press on to the mark, who is Jesus Christ. You know what happens? Is that when she actually touches Jesus, Jesus recognizes that someone intentionally reached out to touch him. Someone intentionally. Listen, y'all, who went holiday shopping or Christmas shopping? Because we don't like saying holiday, right? We like saying Christmas. Who went Christmas shopping, right? The malls were packed. I remember going to a Ross, because I'm cheap like that. I went to Ross, and the line was pretty much to the back of the store. And y'all, there was people all around, people pushing up against me. I kind of bucked at somebody. They bucked back, and I got scared. But listen, like, there were so many people around the mall. But this still doesn't compare to the amount of people that were present there that day. There were so many people on their way to experience a miracle, on their way to experience a little girl being raised from the dead. So could you imagine how frantic they were? Could you imagine Jairus and how he felt leading Jesus and this entire crowd over to where his daughter was? And yet, she still fought through. Sometimes, y'all, we gotta press. Sometimes there's gonna be a struggle. Sometimes there's going to be pains. There's going to be frustrations. But if you can only press on, we may endure pain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, we just got to break through. It's all worth it because every problem that we ever encounter, the solution is always Jesus. The struggle is real, but so is Jesus. You know, I got to slide this in real quick. So she knew that she was to seek the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. That's just what she said. If I could only touch his robe, that I would be made well. I would be made whole. Could you imagine what would happen if we seek his face? If we were to take initiative as a church and seek the face of God, if we were to take an initiative as residents of Mecklenburg County, seek the face of God, what would happen to this city? What would happen to this nation? What would happen to this world if we intentionally sought the face of God? 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will restore their land. God is calling us to be people who will intentionally not just seek his garment, but seek his face. We got to seek the face of God. Seek the face of God today. Going back to that crowd, bumping up against Jesus. He knew that people were banging up against him, but he felt that somebody intentionally reached out. And in that moment, he said that he felt power coming out from his body. That's just amazing. Power coming out from him. But I got to tell you this. When we pray, there is power that's being released. When we press on into Jesus, there is power that's being released. When we intentionally reach out to have communion with God, there is power that's being released. God's power is being released right here, right now, even as I'm speaking. God's power is being released in this room. He knew that power that had been released from his body. So he turns around and asks, who touched me? Who touched me? And there he sees the woman right there, the woman with the issue of blood. Mark, Matthew, and Luke, all three recognize this woman as the woman with the issue of blood. But all three in that moment wrote that when Jesus turned around and made eye contact with her, he didn't call her woman with an issue. He calls her daughter. He calls her daughter. Jesus saw her issue, but still called her by her identity. Jesus saw her condition and still loved her unconditionally. Maybe you today find yourself as the person who struggles with the issue of fill in the blank. Maybe you're the person who struggles with the issue of an addiction or an anxiety or anger, whatever it is, fill in the blank. But yet Jesus sees past your issue, sees past your circumstance, and calls you a son, calls you a daughter. He knows your identity, but yet we still try to rationalize and cling on to things that have happened to us. Yo, it's time to be free today in the name of Jesus. God sees you as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son named Jesus. For whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You are not meant to perish. You are meant to have life and life everlasting through Jesus Christ. He paid a high price for your salvation, and it was in blood. His name is Jesus. He desires to save you and set you free today from any and all things that you're experiencing, any and all things that you're struggling with. His name is Jesus. I feel like preaching up in here, so I'm going to preach a little bit longer. After she was healed, after she was recognized now as no longer the woman with the issue of blood, she was recognized as a daughter. Do you think she carried on and kept living in her condition? Do you think she carried on and kept living as a person who struggled? Do you think she kept on and kept living as an outsider, somebody who was exiled? Absolutely not. Because there came a point where she had to take off the old and put on the new. Christian, it's time for you to take off the old and put on the new. You got to change your garments today. You remember when Lazarus rose, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? What did he say? Lazarus, take off the grave clothes. I see too many Christians too often who keep walking around this Christian life trying to look like the world, trying to look like the things that you used to struggle with, trying to look like the past. But Jesus is saying, break that thing off in the name of Jesus and start walking in the newness of life. Ephesians 4 tells us to take off the old self and put on the new self. Yo, church, it's time to put on the new self in the name of Jesus. Put on the new self. Take off the old. Put on the new. I could just imagine her going to her little place, wherever she was, taking off that old garment, putting on a new garment, walking around with a fresh new identity, saying, I am a daughter of the Most High King. I am a son of the Most High King. You are a daughter. You are a son of the Most High King. It's time to walk in that authority. It's time to walk in that anointing. It's time to walk in that calling. Pastor Tyson can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. I don't know who that was for, but hey, I'm sliding in there. The second perspective that I want to highlight today was the perspective of Jairus. Do you remember? Jairus was initially the one that said, Jesus, my daughter's dying. Jesus, I need you right now. She's dying. And he was the one that provoked the crowd. He was the one that led people down that road that day. The other woman just took her, she saw her opportunity and seized the opportunity. We need to seize our opportunity every single Sunday. But could you just imagine how Jairus felt when Jesus turned around and said, somebody had touched me. I felt power released from my body. And then he has an interaction with her. How did Jairus feel? How would you feel? You know that your daughter is on her deathbed. You know that Jesus is the solution. The struggle is real, but what? But so is Jesus. All of a sudden, he's now having a conversation, having an interaction with her. And it's like, Jesus, you're wasting time. My daughter's on her deathbed, Jesus, but you're wasting time. You're over here talking to somebody else. Oh, now you're calling her daughter? What about me? What about my daughter? What about my needs? And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and says, Jairus, no need in bothering Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus turns to him and says, have faith. Don't be afraid. And I feel like some of you need to hear that today, that Jesus is speaking to your situation. You feel like God has stopped working, but even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. Listen, some of you need to hear that today, that don't fear, but trust in God. Put your faith in God. Put your hope in God. For he is at work. But it's amazing. He saw that somebody else was being healed. Somebody else was being blessed. Somebody else was doing this. Somebody else was doing that. And you felt like God forgot about you. No. It was a setup. It was a setup because you provoked, somebody else was healed. I'm gonna keep going. In verse 36, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Jesus told Jairus, and I want to tell you, do not lose your faith. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not, but just have faith. You feel like time is fighting against you, but just have faith. Psalms 42, 5 and 6. It says, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise his name, for he is my Savior and he is my God. Some of you need to put your hope in Jesus today. Stop putting your hope in the stock market. Stop putting your hope in your job, in your place of employment. Stop putting your hope in your home or your vehicle or even in your family. But put your hope in God today. Everything we see here is going to crumble away. But his throne, who he is, will never fall. His kingdom will never fall, but it will advance. Put your hope in God today. When Jesus came to the house, he noticed that there was so much weeping and wailing. There was so much commotion. And he says these words, how bold of Jesus. Y'all, what are you doing? She's not dead. She's only asleep. And the people laugh like, Jesus, what are you talking about? And I can almost imagine Jesus being sarcastic like, get out. They laugh at him. He's going to laugh back. Get out. Why? He cleared the room of all the doubters. He cleared the room of all the haters. He cleared the room of everybody who had unbelief. Anybody who was double-minded, they had to go. Listen, church, there are people in your life, they just got to go. There are things that you're struggling with right now that has got to go. Jesus said in John 15 that every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit is to be cut off. Y'all have to start cutting off some things in your life today. And I'm speaking to myself here. I've got to cut off some things in my life too. And you have to surround yourself with people who believe like you. Surround yourself with people who will lift you up. Surround yourself with people who will pray for you, who will exalt you, who will be there for you. Surround yourself today and cut off the ones. Say, bye, Felicia. Get away in Jesus' name. He took out everything that was contrary to him and instead filled the room with faith, with strong belief, and with people who were expectant. I wonder how many people are expectant in this room today. Nobody. That's fine. Hey, thank you. Y'all, the struggle is real, but so is Jesus. You know, some of you might ask, well, Matt, are you telling me that things in my life have to go in order for Jesus to work? What I'm saying is those things coming out of your life is Jesus working. Those things coming out of your life, those relationships you got to cut off, those bad habits, those addictions that you have to cut off in your life, that is God actively working in your life. When you surround yourself with the right people, when you get involved in a connect group, you are surrounding yourself with the right people. Shameless plug for connect groups. Listen, you are surrounding yourself with the right people. God is asking you to clear the room only for him to fill it with people that will believe in you, fill it with people that will are there to exalt you, that are there to help you press on. He cleared the room. How many of us need to clear our room today? How many of us need to press on to the mark who is Jesus today? How many of us need a touch of Jesus today? Or better yet, how many of us need to reach out and touch the hem of his garment today? The third perspective that I want to bring up is the perspective of Jairus's daughter. So we have the woman with the issue of blood, just to recap, the woman with the issue of blood who was known for her issue, who was exiled, who was an outsider, who was not really welcomed into the town because of her condition. She was dirty. She was exhausted. She exhausted everything she had, but she only knew that if she was to touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made well. And she was. And she was no longer known as a woman with the issue, but now known as a daughter. Then you have Jairus, who's on his way to his house for Jesus to heal his daughter. But then all of a sudden, he doesn't make it on time. I'm here to tell you today, we serve an on-time God. He is never early. He is never late. He is right on time. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing that day. And the crowd's following him to the house. Jesus said, anybody who's hating, anybody who doesn't believe, anybody who is laughing, they've got to go in the name of Jesus. And he clears the room only to fill it up. That was a quick recap. Now we have Jairus's daughter, who at this point was dead, who at this point breathed her last breath, and Jesus takes her by the hand, and he says the word, Talitha kum, which means little girl, wake up. And in that moment, she rose up, got up on her feet, and began to walk around the house. And Jesus said to everybody in the house that day, give her something to eat. I believe that there's some people here in this room, maybe even watching a live stream, that you are walking around and you are spiritually dead. You don't know who God is. You've heard about him, but and you really want to experience him, I'm here to tell you that he is reaching out and he's grabbing you by the hand right now and he's saying, Talitha Kumin, get up. Get up. Some of you don't know the Lord. Some of you have been lost for a long time. Some of you are just struggling so bad. But he's speaking that into the room today. He's saying to you to get up in the name of Jesus. And I think it's so powerful that the very first thing that he said for her to do was to eat something. Listen, when we come to Jesus and he brings us to new life, it is now time to eat of the word of God. It is now time to consume who he is. It's now to take on his identity for who you are. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. And it's time for you to walk around like it. You got to take off the old, guys, and it's time to put on the new. It's time to walk in the newness of life in Jesus' name. Today is your day of salvation, as long as you say yes. Jesus has already given everything he's needed to give in us. He's already given his life for you. But your life now needs to be a response to his. Today is your day. And I'm going to simply just make the call very obvious, very bold, because Jesus gave it all boldly on the cross for us. Just as Jesus spoke that day, Talitha Kum, I feel like he's speaking it today, Talitha Kum, calling you to get up. If you don't know Jesus, and the words that I've spoken today that are directly from the Word of God in Mark 5, is tugging at your soul today, and you say, Matt, I want to know Jesus. Matt, it's time for me to stop playing games. Matt, it's time to take off the old and to start walking in the new. Matt, it's time for me to press on to the mark who is Jesus Christ. If I'm speaking to you today and you know that you're not right with God, but you want to get right with God, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand up and a member from our parent prayer team are going to meet you right now. Ready? One, two, three. Go ahead and stand up wherever you are. Even if you're watching on the live stream in the comments, we got somebody pointing himself right here. We got, love you, brother. If there's anybody else? Now, I want to do this next call. And this is the call, like you identify with the woman of the issue of blood. You are a person that identifies with an issue. You've been struggling for so long. You've been struggling for years. Her condition lasted 12 years. Maybe you've been struggling for a lot longer. Or shorter, whatever the case may be. If you feel like you today need to press on to the mark who is Jesus, you today feel like you just need to reach and touch the hem of his garment, you're needing a touch from Jesus today, I encourage you right now, as TJ is getting ready to sing this song, to come out of your chair, come meet Jesus right here at the altar. If you need to fight through the crowd, if you need a touch from Jesus, if you've exhausted everything you've had, you've tried everything, but you know that if you try Jesus, that something might just happen, I encourage you to come out of your chair right now and come to the altar. The time is now. Jesus, we love you. We honor you for who you are today, God. I thank you for this word, Lord God. God, I just pray that as well, TJ's singing this song, if you're pulling at somebody, Lord God, and you know that somebody here just knows that they need a touch from you, Lord Jesus, I pray that they will come to the altar today, Lord God, and that they will find you, Lord Jesus. May you touch them. May you restore them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you, God, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.